Well, I'm not even going to ask that question. Okay. Just going to ask a question. Doesn't matter. Last week, we started a series called Hashtag Struggles, right? And we're taking a look at technology and social media and some of the struggles that they can bring to our lives. Last week, just kind of review, we talked about recovering contentment. Right? Those who are here, we talked about contentment in our lives, not allowing technology, social media to kind of cause us to become jealous or envious of what others have, or at least we perceive they have, right, from online or all these different things that how we communicate with people these days. And we saw ultimately that it's only through a relationship with Christ that we will find contentment. That truly to be content, we must allow Christ to be our strength. We can do all things through Christ. And today, though, we're going to focus on relationships, on deepening these friendships and relationships, how technology, how social media has impacted them. And hopefully we can look at some ways to strengthen, to deepen our relationships with those around us. So technology, social media, it's, man, I love it. I like it. That's part of why I'm doing this series. I was reading a book, and you know, I think all of us are involved in some way with technology and social media. Some great things that come about for that. My kids are able now to communicate with their grandma, who is in Canada. They're able to communicate with her on a regular basis through Facebook and through texting. It's awesome. Matter of fact, I love Snapchat. I don't do Snapchat, but I receive Snapchat, okay? I love receiving at least once a day. Almost every day I get a Snapchat from my daughter, who shows me my beautiful granddaughter, Macy, doing something crazy or fun or just sleeping. It doesn't matter, right? My wife enjoys texting, and one of the great things about group texts, so we can, you know, she goes and she puts like everybody's name in there, and so our whole family is able to text one another. We're able to have this conversation where we're literally miles or even different states away from each other, and yet we're able to have this conversation. Some great things about all the technology that we have. Matter of fact, this week I'm having two video conferences with two different groups of people, and we're able to meet together. It saves us literally hours, I mean almost a whole day, to be able to communicate with each other. A lot of you probably have that maybe in your work. And so we're able to do that. It's like we're together on this video, you know, Zoom or all kinds of different things like that. Technology and all that has come with it is a great way of kind of enhancing relationships in many ways. And yet, if we're honest, we'll probably also know and admit that while technology and social media can enhance staying in touch with people, the contact's not the same, is it? It's great, texting or FaceTiming or all the different social medias, but there's something still missing there, right? It's not the same as actually being together. It's not the same as sharing important events in each other's lives. And sometimes there can be kind of unintended consequences in our relationships when we spend too much time simply through our phone or on Facebook or whatever online social platform that we may be involved in. Sometimes they can enhance relationships. Sometimes, unfortunately, maybe they can actually be a detriment. Sometimes we can become detached from those relationships. Technology, social media is great if we make sure it's enhancing our relationships versus maybe replacing them. So here's a question. How can technology, how can social media, how does it change our relationships? You ever thought about that? Maybe you've never really thought about it. Maybe today might be a time to kind of stop and think about this. Now, as I kind of share with you this morning, don't just think about your spouse next to you, although heaven, you're missing your spouse, so you can't. But, you know, I'm sure you're still going to be thinking about her. Or don't just think about your kids. You got teenagers, right, Rick? You know, and don't just think about others, your friends. Think about yourself, okay? Make it personal. Even if you aren't big into technology or social media, it's really a part probably of all of our lives. It's part of all of our lives. The truth is technology and social media do change relationships. They kind of change how we view relationships. So we're going to look at some ways. First of all, just the two ways in how we have changed in relating to others, okay? The first is kind of an idea of friends. You know, the little quotation mark, friends. It's kind of a new evolving definition these days, isn't it? Friend used to mean you had someone that you had something in common with, that you shared life with, that you were around, that you were being with. Well, now we can have friends that we don't even see, right? Matter of fact, you may have friends. I know I do that you may have not even seen in like years, or maybe someone you haven't even ever really met. Some people have friends that they've never even physically met, right? But as many of you know and experience, these friends on social media, their relationship with us is often different than maybe those that we have personal relationships with. We have friends on social media, whether on Facebook or Twitter, right? Or Instagram or all the other things that TikTok. I don't even know half of these things. Like I said, I'm an amateur about that. But, as an old guy, you know, I'm 50-something years old here. I still, I've kind of got at least Facebook, because I know Facebook is for people that are 50 and older, I'm told, by my kids. But, something interesting, as we interact with people, we interact in many different ways. Now, as we interact with our friends, we follow them, right? We like them. We post to them. We put cool emojis for them. Who doesn't know? Just curious. I only found out about emojis about a year ago. How many of you, just be honest, don't know what an emoji is? Anybody here not know what an emoji is? Okay. You almost made me feel really bad because I only learned a year ago, but anyway. It's interesting. I was doing some reading, and do you know that the average Facebook, this is Facebook, okay, kinda, the average Facebook user has 338 friends. That sounds like a lot. I thought, man, I'm not even close. I probably have like 25. I went and looked at my Facebook, and you know how many friends I have? 286. Actually, two more. I added two more this week. Two people asked me to be their friend. Isn't that awesome? And it wasn't any of you. Come on. Listen. I have 288 friends. And yet, here's something else that I found out. I don't know how recent. This is a pretty recent survey. They did a survey of Americans. And it said that the average American says that they have two close friends. And here's the astonishing thing. 25% of Americans said they have no one they consider a close friend. Wow. That's pretty powerful. We have 338 friends on Facebook maybe, but only two or maybe even less of people that we really consider close friends. Deep friendships are a struggle. I mean, that's why it's an important topic here of restoring, deepening relationships. We're going to kind of talk about what that looks like, of restoring deep relationships in just a moment. But a second way that technology, social media is changing relationships is sometimes, especially in those areas, each of us could say, I can control that relationship, right? We do friendships on our own terms. Sometimes these friendships, we feel like we're in control of them. We choose how we relate to them. We choose if we're going to respond to the text right away, or wait a couple hours, or maybe never respond at all, right? We can choose online, we can choose to like something, or comment on them, or post with them or to them, or unfollow them, right? It's kind of one-sided. I'm in control of that relationship, this friendship, and I can manage it from a distance. One pastor talking about this topic wrote of what maybe some of us think about our online friends. This kind of, he's saying this kind of personally for each of us. He says, if you're my online friend, I'll show you only parts of my life, right? I'll show you what I want you to see, and I'll tell you only what I want you to know. If I don't want to respond to the things you choose to show me, I'm not going to. If you post too many pictures of your product, or too many duck face selfies, or too many inspirational quotes, or too many pictures of your cat making duck selfies, I will unfollow you. We're in control of our online friendships, and that control is changing how we often manage our relationships, he says. Friendship isn't always quite like it used to be. Now, for some, maybe those who are 30 or younger or whatever, that's kind of this is all you've known. This is your life. For some people, that's kind of the extent of many of our relationships is simply that online. I think this is even more common with young people, but it certainly is not exclusive to them. It's a situation that we all, I think, need to deal with. And for all of us, we need to admit that technology, social media, has an influence, good and, yes, sometimes maybe even bad, on our relationships. So the question that we're going to look at is how can we develop, how can we deepen our relationships with those that we are friends with, whether online or not? You know, I think God has a lot to say about relationships, don't you? About restoring, about deepening relationships. You see, God didn't just give us a book or many other books that we may read. He didn't just give us movies or an app to know him, all right? What did he do that most impacts our relationship with him? Think about it for a minute. We just celebrated it this last month. God came to us, right? We celebrate Christmas. Christ, God in the flesh, came. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ came to show us what a relationship looks like and what kind of relationship we should have with him, but also with those around us. He had relationships. Think about it. He had relationships with all kinds of different people. I mean, he had a group of 12 that he really focused his life on, right? And those men were kind of just average men. They were fishermen. Some was tax collectors. Some were, you know, just all kinds of just blue-collar workers for the most part. And yet we see he also dealt with the religious leaders. He dealt with men like Nicodemus or Josephus and others. He dealt with the wealthy like Zacchaeus. He dealt with those who were kind of lost and hurting, with like the woman at the well, or like the woman who was caught in adultery, and so many more. But I want to take a moment, let's take a look at a passage that kind of shows the essence of how Jesus developed and deepened relationships. Turn with me to John 13. Okay, John 13. We're going to start just, first of all, with verse 1. Then we'll get to some more. But look at verse 1. This is really toward the very end of Jesus' ministry and life here. And it says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go back to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus wanted to show his disciples what relationship was really all about. This was the end of his journey with them. He had spent about three years with these 12 men, these disciples, as we call them. And he had spent time with them, developing a relationship with them, growing in relationship with them, teaching them, obviously, about God and about how they are to live. But ultimately, we see here this relationship, and he wanted to show them the full extent of his love, the full extent of a relationship with him. And he wanted to give them and us a very practical way of what deep friendships are all about. He wanted them to see, he wanted them to experience, and hopefully he wanted them to follow his example, all right, of what deep friendships are all about. He wanted to show them that relationships are first and foremost about loving one another, right? First and foremost about loving one another. Now, most of you know this story. You know what Jesus does next. He has a meal with them, the Passover meal. And he eats this meal with them, and he shares his heart. In other passages in John chapter 17 and other places, it shows he talks about kind of what he wants for them. And so he really pours his heart into them. But then he does something that's pretty radical, something that no person except for a lowly servant was to do. You know the prophet. What did he do? He washes their feet, doesn't he? He demonstrates his love for them and his commitment to them by washing their feet. Why? Well, I think he wanted to make it clear in some ways that he wasn't too important for them in a sense, right? I mean, he's the Messiah, he's God. But he wanted to show that he himself was not too important. He wasn't necessarily even in charge of their relationship. It wasn't just a give, but it was a give and take. He was willing to do even the most menial and humble acts that one could do. He wanted them to see what real relationships are built on and what they're all about, and that is servant-hearted love. So look with me in John. Skip down to verse 12 through 17, and then verse 34 and 35. Verse 12, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. They said, do you understand what I have said or I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you just remember them. If you just put it in your head. Is that what it says? Oh, if you do them. Look at verse 34 and 35. He said some other things, but then he said this, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The greatest tool for life, for deepening relationships and friendships, is loving one another deeply. Jesus says, the way that people are going to know that you're a follower of mine is how you love one another. And he set the greatest example for us there. And you know what? I think this applies to our technology and our social media. I think this is a great litmus test on how your friends are seeing who you are, right? How will they see you in your technology, in your social media, in your lives with your friends? How we love one another. See, what you post, what you text, what you send in your email, and how you react to posts and texts and emails will ultimately show how important your relationships are. It will show if you love people. Are what you do and how you react, are they done in a servant-hearted love? Some of us hashtag struggle with this, right? Just go online. Some of you struggle with this. And in fact, I know I was. Even just this past week, I was hurt by a post that was not done in love. We're called to love one another face to face, right? As well as on any social media platform we're on. As a matter of fact, we're even called to love our enemies. Did you know that? We're even called to love our enemies. Whoever those people may be, you think in your life that they seem to you like they're your enemy. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to love what? Anyone around us. So here's the question, how are we doing? Remember, here's something interesting. Remember, your friends are watching you. And their friends are watching you. And how you react and how you interact on all those different mediums. So we're called to love one another in all places. Certainly face to face, right? But sometimes we think we can say things differently if we're not face to face through texting or whatever social platform we may be on. We're called to love one another. As I think of restoring real relationships, there's something that I think we need to understand. I think there's something powerful that we need to understand and make a priority in our lives. And that is this, that presence is powerful. Presence, being in the presence of one another is powerful. So why do we settle for something less? God's word talks about this a lot. Talks about how we can be about developing relationships with one another. And these relationships, right, they're not going to happen, they're not going to deepen the way that God wants them simply through texting or simply through Instagram or Facebook posts or dating sites or following someone on Twitter or whatever other modern platform that you may be on. Again, those things are not bad. I am not against them. I'm on many of them, okay? This, as I said if you weren't here last week, this is not a bashing against technology or social media, not at all. But it's a challenge of how are we using these things? How are they impacting our lives? How are they impacting our friendships, right? That's why the New Testament, I believe, talks about so many one another's. Remember the one another's? Love one another, serve one another, be compassionate to one another, bear one another's burdens. And the list goes on and on. You can't do that without being present in people's lives, right? You can't really, you can do a little bit, but you can't really do those things without being present in each other's lives. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25 says. Listen, it says, and let us not neglect commenting on one another's posts and being sure to respond to one another's texts quickly. Why are you guys looking at me like that? Is that what it says? Now, they didn't have texting back then, but you know, that's not what he said. Listen to what he said. Let us not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, he says. But let us encourage one another, And all the more as you see the day of Jesus approaching. He's saying, don't neglect. God's saying, don't neglect getting together, meeting together, being in each other's presence. Because something amazing, something powerful happens when we are together, especially with other believers, but not just believers, but especially, I think, when we're with others. Look with me on the screen of the early church, and if you want, you can turn to Acts, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and look at a few passages here of when the church came together, how they were developing deeper relationships with one another. A lot of you probably know this passage, but let's read again. And look for a word in there that you're going to see a few times called together. It says they devoted, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled, actually, with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together. And actually, they had everything in common. Selling even possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had needs. Sound kind of like a little bit like Love, Inc. Every day they continued to meet together in temple's courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. Matter of fact, the Lord was using that to add to their number daily those who were being saved, those who were coming to the Lord. Now skip over a few chapters, Acts chapter 12, verse 11 to 14. Acts 12, 11 to 14. Peter just escaped from prison. An angel brought him out, and he says this, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. And with this, when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and also called, who was called Mark, where there were many people gathered and were praying. And Peter knocked on the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to the entrance and answered the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed, and she ran back without even opening the door, explaining, Peter is here! He's at the door! In both these passages, and so many more, especially look at the book of Acts, people, Christians, were gathering together. They were gathering together and involved in each other's lives, and there were some powerful things that were happening as a result of them being together, right? We see that they were deepening their relationship. They were caring for one another, even for each other's physical things. They were praying for one another. They were spending time with one another. They were seeing amazing answers to prayer. There's something powerful about coming together with other believers. Something powerful about being together, the presence, the power of presence. Let me share just three really practical things here for a moment that I think we've seen in this passage, and some that are pretty relatable today. The first one is what we see in this passage is if you want to build relationships, you want to build deeper relationships, you got to actually be with people, right? You have to actually get together with people. Sounds kind of basic, but it's not just digitally. It's not just through a group text. It's not through Facebook. It's not on your keyboard. It's not just on your phone, as great as those are. The Bible says many times, be hospitable to one another. You know, I love it. I love our church. And that one of the things we purposely do, our leadership, is to provide opportunities for us to be together. So, you know, our kingdom kids, one of the things that we do that we said when we first started, we're going to have a meal. Because we don't want to just know the kids. We want to get to know their parents and build some relationships with them. And it's also a great time for us, you know, for us as leaders to be all together and to eat together and get to know one another. I love it that we have, you know, it was kind of a little quick this morning, but we have our refreshments time in the morning on Sundays. Not all churches have that, where we can get to know more than just, okay, well, hi, how are you doing in the 30 seconds. Even more importantly, I love that we have our home groups, our life groups, and those who are in those have those deepening relationships where you can share what's really going on in your life. Well, you can't do that on a Sunday morning usually. But you know, it's not just at church. I'm not just talking about church. So many relationships. Do something radical. Go out to coffee or take your friend out for a meal and have some time to be able to just talk about life. Maybe have your friends over for dinner. Or invite your family or friends to come over and play games, if you're into that. Or maybe when you go to your kids, a lot of you have kids that have activities, sports, and just activities at school. When you go there, don't just sit by yourself or just you and your spouse, but make sure and choose to go and sit next to other people, some of your friends maybe, or some people that you want to get to know that your kids are friends with. and choose to build that relationship. Actually get together with people. Could be having friends over to watch the football game, even if you're a Packers fan or a Seahawks fan, against each other. I don't know if David and John are going to be together this week, but anyway. Or any of the rest of it. But you know, those are great. Or invite people over to do puzzles or whatever it is that you enjoy. You know, you can sit at home like the average American, okay? And I don't have all the statistics I was looking at, but they spend most of their time at home in front of their TV or in front of their screen, whatever kind of screen they may have. Or they play their video games, or they post on Facebook and Instagram and so on, and they don't relate to people. Matter of fact, it's even just with your own family, it says the average parent spends literally less than an hour actually face-to-face with their kids a week. Blows my mind. It takes time and effort, right? It takes time and effort to build deeper and real relationships. Here's a second one. This is kind of practical. I'm going to get practical in developing relationships. Maybe you need to call at times instead of text. Now, don't get me wrong. Texting is not wrong. I do it all the time. Texting is great, especially, you know, when you have that quick question, when you want some simple information from somebody. You don't want to, you know, call somebody. You just have a question or a couple things, and that's great. But there's times where, if you can't get together, at least make a call, right? Make a call to someone. I'm guilty of this, quite honestly, where many times I'd just rather text. You know, some of us are a little more reserved and like, I don't want to always have to talk to somebody. And so I text my kids or text you guys. And again, that's not wrong. But there are times, I believe, there are times when we need to call, okay? And of course, emails, you know, you can't really hear the emotion in a text despite all the emojis and exclamation points that you may have. And caps, you probably don't want to do that. That kind of shows one emotion that you may not want. And often, it leaves room for interpretation, doesn't it? You don't really know what somebody's saying. You know, when you're going through a difficult situation in your life, a relationship situation, or when you receive bad news from the doctor, or when you just are having a down day, you don't necessarily just want to receive a text, right? You want to hear that voice. You want to hear that person. That's the time we need to talk. Maybe FaceTime, or maybe even be able to go and see someone. But some of you might wonder, well, I don't know what to say. I'm not really comfortable saying, you know, what do I say? Well, here, try this. Hi there. How are you doing? What's going on? And then just listen. You know, when people are going through difficult times, they just need somebody to listen. And the Lord will speak to you, and he'll give you some words, I think, to say to that person. But calling, even going to see someone, is so much more powerful and personal in a person's life. It's how we develop those relationships with others. And one last thing, here's something that's pretty practical, talking about the power of presence, is when you're doing that, look for an opportunity to pray. To pray for, to pray with someone. When it's appropriate, which really often, ask them how you can pray for them, right? And if you can, pray for them right there on the phone or right there in person. I know there's some of you who say, well, I don't pray out loud. I'm not really comfortable. Okay, that's fine. But you know what you can do? Is you can, in integrity, say, I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you. How can I pray for you? Or you already know the situation. Say, I'm going to pray for you. And then when you get off the phone or when you get in your car and you leave, before you start the car, pray for them. Before you go and do something, when you hang up the phone, before you go and do something, pray for them. Right there. Just take 30 seconds, take a minute, two minutes, whatever the situation. Pray for them, and then text them. Right? Then text them. You know what? I just want you to know, I was praying for you right now. What we're talking about. I'm going to continue to pray, and then pray for them. Okay? There's something powerful about that. You know, one of the things I didn't have a chance to mention, it's in our bulletin, we'll talk about it more, but one of the things we have our elders and intercessors who are willing. They've said, you know what? I want to, and I'm available to pray with anybody in our church, whether it's before church, during our green time, after church, or any. And so I hope that as you get to know people, and maybe it doesn't have to be just an intercessor. I've seen people many times just praying with a friend when they see something that's going on, just taking a moment. But let's pray for each other. When somebody prays for you, that, you know, there's a deepening in that relationship. You see, that person really cares. They've taken the time. They put themselves out there to pray with me. One last thing I want to look at, consider these deepening relationships, and that is to engage more deeply. Let's look at the first, listen to, I think it's up there, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, Peter says, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's usually related to us men sometimes. I don't know. Maybe not. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. There's that serving again. Faithfully administering God's grace in all of its various forms. In other words, care for one another, right? Care for one another. Be in the presence of one another. Life isn't about how many likes you have, okay? Right, guys? I've got my teenagers over here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5, 6 young people. It's not just about likes, right? It's not just about how many friends you have. It's about the relationships you have with those friends. Engage them more deeply. So here's something radical. One more last thing. It's not in the Bible, okay? But I think it's pretty practical. At times, put away the phone or the tablet or turn off the TV, especially when you're with people, right? Engage. We actually have a rule in our family at dinner where we were, when the kids were there, to put away the phones. We, you know, it was on silent or put them away. Now the kids are all grown now, and so now we're at the phone, and now they tell me to put away my phone. How dare they? But you know, that was something that was important to us. But when you're with someone, put the phone on silence, right? Turn it down. Put face down or put it away. Or where's your thing? Rick. Man, Rick brought me the perfect illustration here. I don't even know what this is called. But he got this. He has an issue, I guess. His kids got him this or something. I don't know. You put your phone in here, you lock it up. Now, I don't think his kids like this idea, but they'll get used to it, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty fun. You know, we used to do that with youth group, where they still do. Put your phones in this basket, you'll get it afterwards. You know, it's hard. For some of us. Is it hard for you? I am like that. You know that member, some of you may remember when you were in school, the Pavlov and the dog, you remember ring the bell and they go for the food? You guys remember that? Basic, you know, psychology, you ring the bell, you train it, and every time they hear the bell, they know the food's there. Well, and then, ding, buzz, whatever. I'm the dog. Like, oh, wait, where's my phone? Oh, it's back there, okay. My first response, somebody important surely is coming. I am so important that they're texting me or a new post or they like something or somebody else out in the internet, you know, said something I must know right away. No, I don't have to know it right away, especially when I'm sitting with Mark and Mary and we're trying to talk or we're playing a game. I don't have to always know what that next ding or buzz or beep is. And that's me. I know you guys don't struggle with that at all, but that's kind of... I mean, here's a challenge. If you engage with others deeply, don't let your devices control you. You control your devices, right? Technology, social media can wait if we want to truly engage deeply with others, be in the presence of others, show hospitality, serve others as God's word says. Again, life isn't about likes or how many followers or friends we have, and not against that. I'm going to build up my followers. Maybe some of you want to be my friend. I don't know. But, you know, you don't have to respond right away necessarily to that text or email. Again, those aren't bad. But let's not let those things define our relationships. And maybe at times, instead of just posting something, you actually reach out to that person. You know, those few friends that you want to deepen that friendship with. It's about real and deepening relationships with those in your life. So don't miss out on the most important, which is getting together, being in the presence of one another. Look at your schedule, you know. How are you investing in your relationships with one another? How are you growing in your faith? How are you growing in others, helping others grow in their faith? Love one another as Jesus showed us how to love, right? To be present with those around us when we are with people, to be present with them, engage deeply by loving and serving others. This is the path, I believe, to restoring, deepening relationships. Let's close by prayer. Would you guys stand with me as we close?